Okay, so this is Dave Pueblo, and I'm at a meeting regarding the Green New Deal happening at the Albany Public Library today on Saturday, March 9th, and I'm standing with Howie Hawkins. Howie, tell our listeners basically who you are.
Well, I was a Green Party candidate for governor in 2010, 2014, and 2018, and the theme of all three of those campaigns was a Green New Deal for New York, which is a combination of an economic bill of rights for things like universal health care, the New York Health Act, jobs, education, housing, and 100% clean energy by 2030, which would be the economic stimulus and sustainable economic foundation for all the economic rights and security that people need.
One of the things that has come up as a consistent theme at meetings like this that I've been to is the entire thing can seem enormous and abstract, especially on a local or regional level. Do you have specific things that you could recommend for people to do to try and advance the Green New Deal or similar projects?
Well, we have legislation before the state legislature. On the healthcare piece, it's the New York Health Act. On the climate piece, it's called New York Off Fossil Fuels. It's a plan to get us to 100% clean energy by 2030, which is what the climate science says developed countries like or states like New York need to do in order to avert dangerous climate change. And so right now the state legislature is considering climate action. Unfortunately, it looks like Cuomo, who has taken the Green New Deal brand and used it to cover for flooding the states with frack gas power plants and subsidies for nuclear power, along with some, you know, solar electricity and wind power. And that is not adequate to the what the climate science says we need to do. So at this point, right now, people need to be talking to their legislators and organizing demonstrations, all kinds of activity to get the legislature to do what we need to do and make the demands. So I think right now in New York, you know, I like to call it the Archimedes lever. You know, Archimedes, the old Greek, said if you give me the right lever and the lever point, I can move the world. New York is the 11th largest economy in the world if it was a nation, and we're a media capital, a financial capital. What we do matters, and we can lead the nation and the world, show them that it's technically feasible to go to clean energy by 2030, and it would be an economic benefit for everybody in the state. And other states and nations will want to follow once we demonstrate it.
I know from past experience as an activist and a quasi-lobbyist that when you're dealing with a powerful entity like Governor Cuomo and he has a specific plan that he's trying to advance, when you're approaching your assembly or senator representatives one by one, it can be very difficult, and you need to have specifics that you can suggest in place of what the governor is trying to get through. Do you have that type of information listed online for people to have access to so that they can go in armed with information to ask the right asks?
Yeah, the New York Off Fossil Fuels Act is online. You can get it at the State Assembly. You can read that. The Green Education and Legal Fund has a good summary of the bill and the arguments for it, the talking points. Food and Water Watch does as well. That'll give you the information you need to lobby for that bill. And you're right, lobbying can be frustrating. Some legislators, or you sometimes get to a legislative aide, will actually listen to what you're saying and will ask for more information. And others will like smile and nod and won't do anything. What sometimes moves them, and more often moves them, is a mass movement. That's how we got the ban on fracking. You know, I campaigned that in 2010 when very few were, and by 2014, we had a mass movement, and Cuomo, every indication was he wanted to go ahead with fracking. I mean, right before the election, he was trying to poo-poo a study that said it would contaminate the water. He, like, wanted it redone. And then after the election, we got 5%. Zephyr Teachout got 35% in the Democratic primary, and our vote totals were about the same. And I think Governor Cuomo said, oh, my God, I lost a lot of votes. I wanted more votes than I got last time. I got less. And it went to this challenge, and the fracking demand was one of our leading demands. And so we moved him. Unfortunately, now he's importing frack gas and building pipelines and power plants. So we got to, you know, stay on it and this time push for the New York Off Fossil Fuels Act, I think, is what we need to focus on right now. And what I said during the campaign, and I still say, is the climate, safe climate movement, the environmental movement, the economic justice movement need to focus on this New York Off Fossil Fuels Act with the same laser focus we had on the ban on fracking 4 years ago. And if we don't get it passed this year, we need to keep pushing because we're running out of time with the climate.
So far our conversation has been focused primarily on legislation issues, but what are other things that people can do in terms of reaching out to local or national or international business forces or other entities that they can push in the direction that we need to go so that they can in turn influence the legislative debate?
Well, I think public policy is the best way to move business. If we pass a carbon tax, it will give predictable price signals as to when the payback time is if you install renewable energy on your business. And the same for consumers on their homes. And so I think that's the kind of incentive. Business is out to make money, and they'll make money based on what the market is telling them to do. And right now it's telling them natural gas is cheaper than renewables, at least for the time being, so they're going with natural gas. The businesses that do natural gas, they know how to build those plants. They don't want to get into, the same kind of construction would be involved in concentrated solar power, where you have a lot of mirrors. It boils water based on the reflection of those mirrors. So it's the same principle. Same goes with the building trades that are involved in fossil fuels, like boilermakers. I've talked to those guys. Yeah, we like things that burn. Well, actually, you're going to need a boiler for a concentrated solar panel plant. So we got to show people that there are alternatives. The Boilermakers actually on their, National Union website highlight a boiler, concentrated solar power boiler that they're building in the Mojave Desert. So I think it's partly education and partly public policy that gives them the right incentives.
Okay, and any other points that you want to make that I haven't, brought up?
Well, we face an existential threat. The headline is the special report from the International Panel on Climate Change. The headlines say we have 12 years. What it actually meant was we have 12 years in their estimation to get a cut of carbon emissions 45% below 2010 levels and then get totally decarbonized by 2050. I actually believe that's too slow. The International Panel on Climate Change tends to be more conservative than the science indicates because they got to get those reports passed. Petrostates and the big carbon emitters like the U.S., Russia, China, Saudi Arabia. So they're always underestimating the pace at which global warming is happening and understating what we need to do about it. But even that is an ambitious timeline. And so if we don't do that, the consequences are deadly. Dangerous climate change, 2 degrees and above. This report was trying to keep us at 1.5 degrees. Means mass extinctions, ecosystem collapse, collapse of food production, social conflict and wars as we're mass impoverished, huge environmental migrations. It's a science fiction movie kind of picture. And that's by 2050. By 2100, if we keep putting carbon in the atmosphere, which then goes into the ocean as carbonic acid, phytoplankton, which provide 2/3 of the oxygen in the atmosphere, will die off. We'll suffocate. I mean, we're really on the edge of an existential threat. So people need to, act like that and not be hopeless. I mean, if we can build out this clean energy system, it's going to be an economic boon, and we can have a good standard of living. But if we sit on our haunches, we're in for big trouble.
And just to close, for people to get access to this information that you've talked about online, where would they go?
Well, I think the Green Education and Legal Fund, the Food and Water Watch that I mentioned are good sources. My webpage, howiehawkins.org, has a lot of material from my campaign about these issues, media statements, policy papers, and links to more. For example, my written testimony, if you want to go over to climate science, I tried to review it for these senators who really haven't paid attention and, tried to point out how dire it is. And it links there to the peer-reviewed scientific papers as well as some popular accounts. So there's a lot of information on my website, too.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.